Joe, what inspired you to want to be an artist?
Well, I don't know what actually inspired me, but I was always interested in art, and I started doing art when I was in the second grade, drawing. And I would get the Courier Express Sunday paper, in which the brown section always had a page on different artists. And I would sit at the coffee table in the living room and draw from Michelangelo or whoever they had that week, you know. And it probably was just ingrained. I don't think anybody inspired me at that age. I remember I did a drawing of two cows, and I sold them for 2 cents to another kid, and I went down and bought candy at the candy store. Yeah, so, well, from that, I had a very good art teacher in grade school, Mrs. Wertner, who was very inspiring to me. I did my first oil painting. My dad painted, so I stole his paints one time and started an oil painting. She kept encouraging me, you know, from the eighth and ninth grade. After I went into high school, the first year of high school was very disappointing in the fact that the art program was so bad. And I think back then they just didn't have the outlook they have now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I got tired of doing ties, you know. So I quit high school. And I took my paintings into Buffalo, and I went to the Art Institute, and I went to the Albright, and I got 2 scholarships. So I started mostly at the Art Institute. I think I took 1 or 2 classes at the Albright. My dad said, you know, you quit high school, now you have to work. We want, you know, $20 a week. You know, and back then, it was a lot of money. I got some jobs, and I worked as a busboy in Hotel Lafayette, you know, and worked for Pierre Wholesale Food, you know, loading trucks. You know, I was only like 15 then. And in the meantime, I went to the Art Institute, and Bill Rao was the director at that time. And he was a real mentor for me, Bill Rao. And Jean McKay, and most people will know her by Jean McKay Henrik. She was another very inspirational person for me. It was just a great opportunity. I mean, just some great people that were there to encourage you and lead you forward. So I kept doing a lot of work with Jean McKay. She was working on a big sculpture, so she had me putting the clay on the wings. You know, I thought, and this, you know, at 15, this was really exciting. You know, so I did my first sculpture there, and it was. It was just great. And Bill Rao was the type of man who could talk and explain everything to you. You know, some teachers in art are, oh, put some red here, do something here. He could explain why you wanted to do that, or you should do that. So he was very inspirational. But I remember my first life class, you know, and that... You know, back then, you didn't see a lot of the stuff that's going on now. So you were very, what you would call, inexperienced. So I go into the life class, and I set up, and now the nude is standing there. And I was afraid to look around. So I kept looking to see if anybody was looking at me to see if I was going to look, you know. And then finally Bill Rao come over, and he says, Jesus, he says, you better start putting some marks on the paper. From there, I went into the service. But another teacher that was there at the time, and I just remembered, was Rex Jennings, who worked for Walt Disney. And he had quit working there because he got tired of the repetition of doing the drawings. So he came back to Buffalo, and he was at the Art Institute teaching. And just another nice guy. He wasn't an inspirational thing to me, but just a great person that you could talk to and everything. But then from there, I went into service in 43. When I come out in 46, under the GI Bill, I come back, and I went to the Art Institute. I didn't go back to the Albright. The Albright was The Art Institute and the Albright were two different philosophies. The Albright was more of the don't put your fingerprint on the paper type of thing. Mm-hmm. And the Art Institute was a very loose place. And when you went there, you were like in your own studio. You could go to a class that they had, or you couldn't go. You could have your corner and just paint and tell everybody to bug off, mm-hmm. you know, leave you alone. You really didn't get what you would call personal instruction, you know, somebody coming over and say. Mm-hmm. But what you got was a discussion with everybody. The teachers who were involved were equal with you. I mean, there wasn't this big separation. And so you would all go down to the bar. I remember my one teacher, Don Burns, would say, well, we're taking this class down to the bar and we'll continue this discussion down there. Well, you know, it got pretty wild after a while. But it was, you know, great information that went back and forth during that time, too. And Don Burns was another great, I think he was probably one of the top watercolors in the United States, but he never got recognized. You know, he did some really unbelievable watercolors. And Bob Blair was another inspiration. Bill Rau, Gene McKay. That was the nub of the group that was at the Art Institute. Was Dave Pratt was another one. We became really friends, and we remained, all this group remained friends after the school ended. I mean, we continued our lifestyles, you know, together. That made, I don't know, that's, I think it's almost like the artists in Paris who all met at the cafe. Well, we used to meet at somebody's house all the time, you know, and parties and whatever, and look at each other's work and talk about it and everything. So it was just a great relationship out of that school. And Dave Pratt and I became really close, and Walter Pachanik was another one. And I don't know, it's just, when you tell people, it's almost like unbelievable that from 46, this group stayed together like family, you know, until now they're all gone. It was just a great thing that happened, I think. And Buffalo at that time was becoming a real art center. Mm-hmm. And back in the 50s, 60s, and music, and things were really thriving. Now it's coming back again, which is great to see. You know, I got married my last year, I was at the school. Big mistake. But anyway, my advice to anybody who wants to be an artist, don't get married right away. But anyway. So I had to get a job. Mm-hmm. So when I come out of the art school, I didn't want to teach or anything. You know, teachers, I think at that time, were getting paid like $1,800 a year or something. You know, so I said, well, I'll go to work in the steel plants. So I went in the steel plant, became a fireman, worked in the fire department, which was exciting, and it opened up some new avenues for painting and drawing and stuff, which was nice, and I took advantage of that while I could. Then I got into a little discussion with the chief of the fire department. So we didn't get along. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I left there and then, you know, picked up other jobs along the way. And trying to paint at night, while I was doing these jobs, I always painted. But you know, you worked till 2-3 in the morning, then you had to get up at 6 and go to work again. So it wasn't an easy situation, you know. And then I end up with 3 kids, so you get bogged down. I mean, which is okay, you know. But the art kept going. I kept managing to hang in there with it, you know, which was tough. But I had no communication at that. From that point on, I lived out in the country, and I would see Bob Blair once in a while, or Dave, or something, or Walter would drop out, or Jimmy Vullo would drop out, you know, but no big contact. I belonged to the Buffalo Society for a while, and the Pateran, and you know, when we started the art street thing for Buffalo. So I was in on it.
I don't think I'm familiar with that, the art.
Well, it's now the
Oh, now the Allentown Art Festival.
The Allentown.
Wonderful, right. Wonderful.
So we were, at that time it was only like 3 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all art. There was no balloons or socks or, all the garbage stuff, But when that started to happen, the art groups sort of left.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Buffalo Society stopped going, the Pateran and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I had a little connection off and on. I didn't really care about making connections. I mean, if you're going to do your art, you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need to have connections to do it, The thing is, you have to go in every day and work. It's like a job. And I go into my studio every day and do something, bad or good, but you do something, And so it continued. That went on for about 20 years that way, off and on. And I'm going through different jobs and trying to paint. At that point, the home life wasn't too good either. But anyway, outside of that, it was a tough situation. And I think artists have this problem, when you get married and you have kids and you're trying to do your art and you got to work, you have to be really determined and have something to say that you want to do to stay with it. Otherwise, you just become commercial and art goes out the window, So, anyway, I got divorced, and then I met a beautiful young lady who I married, who was a real inspiration. My wife was my inspiration from that point on. She did everything to help me, And so I was able to paint full-time now, which is unbelievable. I got the studio right off the house, walk in, and all my stuff is laid out. I don't have to bring any. Before, I'd have to carry everything into the kitchen or the cellar or wherever you're going to paint, and then pack everything up, So that made it difficult, too. I mean, I painted in some one place. We had a farmhouse, and there was no heat upstairs. And I had to bring my paints down, put them on the stove to freeze them to go back up and paint.
Yeah.
And I had to wear gloves with cut-off fingers, And I mean, there's some tough areas there. I think most artists, if you're really going to be an artist, you work through those periods, And I think everyone has them. Bob Blair, had them. Dave Pratt worked for Simonelli, and he worked as in the concrete part, and it's tough, and yet he still painted all the time. And of course, Jimmy Vula became a teacher at State, and Walter Pachanik taught at UB, and Jean McKay taught at one of the girls' schools.
Mm-hmm.
So they went into the teaching end. But, somehow I would not advise that for somebody who's going to be an artist. Because when you're teaching art all day, you come home, you're already done, to do your own art. And then I noticed, too, a decline in the quality of the work sometimes. They become part of the Art 101 situation, And so I think it's good to just to do, go into your studio, have a studio or whatever you got, and just paint. I had a teacher, Henry Gorski, that once told me, if you're going to paint, don't get a job doing art. Here's another person who was very, that name just came to me now again, That was a good point. I always remembered that point, So I always had jobs that were not related to art. So I come home and I was ready to do artwork, And but then again, having a variety of such jobs, it opened up a whole new thing where you sketched and saw different episodes and things happening. So that was good. It didn't seem good at the time, but when I look back, it was good to have that experience, a different experience from all these different jobs. Mm-hmm. You know? So I don't know.
How would you say that your focus changed after you were able to focus on your art full time? You know, once you had that sort of freedom.
Well, I think that's when I started to just before that, I was doing a series called the Image of Man series. And I got into doing series because you could concentrate on one item and expand on it. And so that was a direction. Whenever I started something, I would do two or three or four, mm-hmm. or ten, however it worked out. And that's the way I worked. So I worked in, you know, like this last, I'm doing a thing on the wheat fields. Mm-hmm. I started a series on it. And it's still going. Not steady, but every once in a while it'll pop up and do it. And the same thing with the... Now, I started the Image of Man in 69, and that's a crazy thing. But anyway, that still pops up, and all of a sudden I got these groups of figures and stuff back again. I work in series, To me, it works for me. It may not work for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Please talk some more about the different series you create.
Well, the Image of Man was one series. It was really the first series. Mm-hmm. And then from there I went into the Death series, which is all death forms. And, God, that's going back a few years, I'm trying to think of.
Okay, just some ones that stick out in your mind.
Then I did a cloud series, which was really interesting. And then I got into landscapes, but the landscapes were not landscapes per se. They were used as shapes and forms, mm-hmm. and stuff. So I created a lot of stuff out of just general what I call a landscape series. From there, I went through so many series, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. Do all of them have a definitive start and end, or kind of like you expressed?
They have a start.
Yeah.
None of them end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They keep reappearing, mm-hmm. which is also interesting. And what's also interesting, I had managed to keep a lot of my work from 46, 47, 48, and... Every once in a while, I look back on that work, you know, and I think, wow, I'm still relating, mm-hmm. and these same forms are still coming back late now, you know. And you think you're doing something new, and then you look back and say, wait a minute, this whole thing started back here, you know. So that was interesting,
to
look back. I would advise everybody to keep everything they do. Good or bad, you know, and because when you look back on it, it'll be really interesting to connect it with what you're doing.
Yeah.
I found out, you know, the same forms you originally start with when you're young are still carried through, and it's really fascinating. I mean, the shapes and directions and the forms that you do, relationships on the painting, and you look back and there's some of the same relationships happening 30 years ago or something. But they've changed a little, but they're still basically the same. This last series I'm working on is the Wheatfield series, and then in between I just do a few other things that aren't not part of a series. Mm-hmm. Before that, I just did a whole group called the American Landscape Series. I hate names on paintings. I don't like the name paintings. So I just This is the landscape series. You look at it and you get something out of the painting. I'm not going to tell you what to get, you know, by naming it or destroying it for by a name, you know, which can happen too. So I don't like the name paintings. I just name the series, and then everything in that series is called whatever the series is. I don't know. I think it works for me. I don't know who would work for anybody else. You know.
So. Could you talk a little bit more about some of the mediums you work in and some of your process of creating works?
You know, you start off with your oils and pencil, pen and ink and stuff. And then I got into, under Bill Rau, Bill Rau did a lot of glazing. Mm-hmm. And I got fascinated with glazing. So I started to do the technique that he was using, which I don't know if it was good or bad. But anyway, it worked if you got patience, because after about the third layer of glazing, it would take like a week to dry before you could put the next one on. And then the more you put on, the longer you had to wait, you know. So I would start like 3, 4, 5 paintings, you know, because they would all be at different stages. But the glazing process was great. It just was, you got to have something to say with the technique. And once the technique becomes the purpose, then you better quit or change or something, you know, because you can't let the technique be the direction telling you what direction to go. You have to tell the technique which direction to go, and you have to create a technique to say what you want to say. So the glazing at that point was one thing that was working. And then from there I got into doing a whole bunch of paintings with small little lines. And each line was put on separate and then built up. So it took like months to do a painting, you know. And that was fascinating for a while, you know. And so I did, I don't know how many paintings anyway. And then I said, well, that's when the technique started to become the, I was, oh, this is nice, it's working, so it's okay. You know, it's now it's getting just doing the technique. So I said, we quit that. And I went into something. I forgot what I went into from there. But that was one another technique that was really, you know, it was nice and it worked. It said what you wanted to say, and then it ends. Then I started to do some, I was always doing a few watercolors in between. Nothing so to speak of. I never got into printmaking or anything like that for some reason. Didn't have the equipment or the means. And the Art Institute did not have the means at that time either. I mean, now, I think people going to art school now have a big advantage in a sense. They have all this stuff to work with, you know, and teachers that show them all the mechanics of printing. And from there, I think at that point I started to go into the Image of Man series, which was pen and ink and watercolor. Great stuff. Loved it. I mean, I was saying something that I wanted to say about mankind and his relationship and how he was, you know, all this stuff. And it was just a nice medium, because it's a free type of medium, you know, for me. You know, I could draw and put paint and the watercolors on it. And it's just a beautiful thing. Watercolors are just so, and then I got really back into watercolors for a while. And then after that, I decided that due to certain health factors, I quit the oil. Mm-hmm. Because of all the chemicals. And I went into acrylics, and I started doing the acrylics, which is another great medium, because it's like, you know, it dries right away, you can glaze over it, which the other glazing took so long. This, I could lay 3, 4, 5 glazes on in one day. How exciting is that? You know, I mean, it was unbelievable. I got into back into glazing a little and doing some stuff with the acrylics. And I did a lot of social paintings, protest paintings against the wars, against certain, all the wars, against the war. But anyway, so the acrylics were great for that. You know, I mean, you could work really direct, and dries. You could change it. You you didn't have to wait. You know, with oils, you have to wait for, okay, I got to wait for it to dry, and then work over it or whatever. But I didn't want the chemicals. So the water base was nice. And then, I don't know how I got back into watercolors. At some point, it was about five, that'd be like 8 years ago, wasn't it? That I got back into watercolors. The love of my life, watercolors. Just the greatest medium, you know. And, you know, the art school I went, the Art Institute was mainly, you would say, a watercolor school. You had Bob Blair, and you had Birchfield, and you had Henry Gorski, and you had a whole bunch of, you know, Don Burns. You had all these people doing watercolors. So everybody was doing watercolors. And then it slipped away after I left the school. But now I'm back into watercolors. Oh my God, how beautiful is this? You know, it's, you know, you lay that color down on the paper, and it's just like you say, "Wow!" You know, yeah. So I'm really happy with that medium, watercolor. It does, you know, I don't have to take all day. I can do the painting in, you know, roughly 1 to 2 hours. And if I have to rework it, maybe another hour. And watercolors are hard to rework. So I had to learn certain things so that I could go back in and rework an area. You know. But with watercolor, you work an area and you have to wet the whole paper down. You have to do certain things that, so it fits in again. But it's just an interesting medium, you know. And so every once in a while I'll use pen and ink with it or pencil, depending what you want to say or how you want to say it. That's what I've been doing for 3,000 watercolors or more. That's the last time I counted. So,
how would you say that Charles Birchfield has influenced some of your work as another major watercolor painter? Perhaps as a fellow watercolor painter, you know, would you say that?
Well, Birchfield is a very, he didn't talk about art very much. I mean, we'd have lunch, and he would talk about his family or something, you know. And then when he was teaching there, I took a couple of classes, but he wasn't a good teacher. And I think he realized that after a year, and he quit. He's just, you know, some artists aren't made to teach, you know. And that's nothing wrong or nothing against them, you know. But I felt he wasn't a very good teacher. And I think he felt that way too. Who else was like that? Dave Pratt was like that in a way. You know, I mean, he was so into his own art that it was hard for him to sit and talk about other people's art. But yeah, Birchfield. Well, of course, I remember Dave Pratt and I and this other woman gave that talk on Birchfield here. I think my first sentence was, "I don't like Birchfield," and the whole auditorium quieted down. And I don't like all. I mean, you can't like all of everybody's stuff, you know. And I said, I don't even like all of mine, you know. But anyway, Birchfield was not really an influence, although I think I don't know if I use some of my stuff looks like his sometimes. But I don't think it's due to looking at his work. I think that would have come, that was part of the direction I was in anyway, you know. So I'd say the biggest influence on me would be Jean McKay when I was 15, you know, turning 16. She was just a wonderful teacher. And my grade school teacher was another one. Who was a, they were an influence on me because they kept me going. You know, they encouraged you and everything. And Bill Rao, not to a big extent, though. Mm-hmm. But he was an influence. Mm-hmm. And, I tried to stay away from that sort of thing because you want to do your own thing.
Right.
So you can't become involved with other people to the extent where you're going to be doing what they're doing. Yeah.
This is a very broad question, but throughout your career, what have you hoped to achieve with your art?
That's a broad question.
It's a very broad question.
Yeah.
You mentioned you made some paintings that were social commentary.
Making statements that I hope will influence how people think and how they feel and everything. And especially in my protest paintings, you know, which nobody has ever seen because who's going to show them? You know, I mean, nobody wants to show that kind of stuff, really, most of the time. And, the landscapes, I try to look at landscapes. Let me put it this way. Across the road is a big field, and then some trees, and then a big hill, you know. And it's so gorgeous sometimes when the sun hits it. And I must have done 30 watercolors or more. And each watercolor is different. And you try to look at something differently and say something differently to make a point about what you're looking at or what you want them to see in that landscape. And I think that's I don't know if is that broad enough?
Throughout your career as an artist and as you had more and more solo shows and more exhibitions, what are some of the things that you did to advance your career?
None? No, I did everything to advance my career.
Well, were you proactive about applying to exhibitions?
No.
No,
I think I entered a few national shows early on. Mm-hmm. And then I just quit doing that because I realized it was just all a big, you know, depending on the judges. Because the thing that discouraged me was I entered a painting at the Western New York show. They had one judge rejected my painting, right? So there's a national show up at the Springfield. So I sent that painting that was rejected here up there. He was the judge up there, gave me first honorable mention. So that's when I said, wait a minute, there's a lot of politics going on here, you know. So I said, what's the point? You know, the main thing is if you're gonna be an artist, you want to paint. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter about showing or having exhibitions or taking somebody out to lunch to get somewhere. That's not the point. The point is go in and paint and make your statement. You know. So I never got involved with trying to promote myself, although now I lucked out. I happened to get with a really nice gallery, I think by accident, wasn't it? So to speak. I don't even know how I made that connection. Anyway, we had a nice connection, Grace Maybach. So all of a sudden, she's selling some of my work, and that's the first time. You know. So I'm connected with her, and that's it. But promoting yourself takes a lot of effort and takes away from your time, mm-hmm. for one thing, you know. And does it make your art any better? No. You know, you can promote yourself and get your name in big headlines and all that stuff, but you have to look back and see what you're doing in the field of art. Mm-hmm. So none of this other flowery stuff around the edges, you know, doesn't matter. You don't need it. It looks nice. Makes you feel good, I guess. I don't care if I have another show. It doesn't matter to me. The main thing is to go in and work.
It's interesting because one of the questions I've been asking is, you know, what needs do you have of the community, or what can the community or organizations or institutions provide you as an artist? Because here at the Birchfield, we're also trying to figure out what we can provide artists, both emerging and established, to better help them develop their careers. You had a really wonderful experience when you were growing up of having a very strong arts community that helped you shape your career through the Arts Institute and the Albright.
It was a great time in the city, actually. I think they got a write-up in Life magazine. Mm-hmm. I mean, things are happy. First-run plays, music, mm-hmm. art, whole thing.
Would you say today that there's anything comparable for artists?
I think it's going to be.
I think so, too.
I think it's coming. I think this city's ready to explode again, and it's real nice to see, And it's already exploding, a little, here and there. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a great, this is a great place to be an artist. I wouldn't go to New York City or anything. Nah, it doesn't appeal to me. Somebody says, why don't you bring your paintings down to New York? I said, why? The paintings are here, and I'm here, and the Birchfield's here.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. I mean, the Birchfield's been a great help to me, in a sense, because when Tony Bannon took over the directorship, it was in 1986, mm-hmm. he gave me my first show, one-man show. And that was his first show here, too. Yeah. So the Birchfield has been a big help. I think for the area artists, this can't be beat. I don't know if there's another city that has this sort of thing going. Mm-hmm. And Tony and Ted, and they've had two good directors, and Tony's back again. It's just Birchfield and the Western New York artists. To me, it's just an unbelievable situation because it's so wonderful for the artists. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now that Tony's back, things will be changing a little, but I think it'll be a different, better situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And certainly here we are sitting in the new museum, that was built less than 4 years ago, and just to see what that's done for the community and to really make this strong statement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the thing that gets me is the news does not play it up.
Yeah. Politics.
Yeah.
But also we're still emerging as a larger force in the region, and I think that
right.
Yeah. We've been around since the 1960s as an institution.
Yeah, I think my first show in 86 was at the gym, mm-hmm. because they were working on the third floor of Rockwell Hall. Yeah.
That's really fun.
So they were hanging the shows at the gym, which was actually pretty good. I mean, the hanging was nice in there. Oh, boy. But, I think a lot of artists have benefited from the Birchfield. I mean, yeah, so it's just a wonderful organization.
Right?
And you're right. They're going to keep growing and growing.
Yeah.
And I worry sometimes about the direction they may be starting to take. Are they going to expand their outlook to other artists, other areas, and become like the Albright in a sense? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that'd be good. Mm-hmm. I think you have to maintain what you got in the purpose of this museum. Yeah, because I look at the Albright, I don't even go in there anymore.
There's certainly, although the exhibition they have up now, Wish You Were Here, is very much focused on the avant-garde Buffalo artists from the 1970s.
Yeah, my nephew's got stuff in there.
Really?
Yeah, Bob Muffalo. He started SIPA. He was the founder of SIPA.
Yeah?
Yeah. Back in when was that?
70s.
Yeah.
The 70s.
Yeah. Because I was involved with that for a while with him. Mm-hmm. And now he's in Europe. Yeah, so that's a good show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they have,
Their focus is much beyond Western New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And some of it's this director I didn't care for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we were in Santa Fe, he was leaving Santa Fe to come here.
Really?
Yeah. So I asked somebody, I wanted to see the museum that he was director of, you know. And the guy said, no, you don't really don't want to go there. So I guess he wasn't too well liked in the directions he was going. Mm-hmm. So I never cared either for mm-hmm. when he got here. It was just like a, I don't know what kind of a direction he was going in, but he was picking people out he knew mm-hmm. from other areas and bringing them up here. But anyway, that's another point, you know.
How much is your art inspired by your personal experiences, and in what way?
You know, when I look at a landscape, you get inspired. You know, I mean, you're not inspired by the community or anything. I mean, these things inspire you as you look. Mm-hmm. And then during the war, I had several experiences that shaped some of the things I did, like the Image of Man series and the Death series and stuff like that. So that was a big, I think that was the biggest influence on what I was doing. Because then I did the protest paintings and the things like that. And then other things, sometimes, you know, like I sit outside and you look up and I see a cloud, and I did, and all of a sudden these shapes appear, and I did the cloud series, you know. And yeah, I think things come. Creativity is something I hope nobody ever finds out how it works, because they'll screw it up. You know, because these things happen, and all of a sudden you're saying, oh, wow, look at that cloud, and what can I, you know, what form does it take in relation to the other parts of the sky and all this stuff, and the land, and then it really gets exciting, you know. And sometimes I'll just be sitting on the couch and something will come right into mind. I'll run in and do a painting, you know. And or sometimes when we're driving along the road, you know, and I'll look out and I'll see, you know, like the wheat fields. We're driving along this one time. The most beautiful thing you ever saw was this wheat field with the light hitting it, you know, and the color. And it was just, so we got back. I had to do a painting, which turned out was pretty bad, but then it continued. You know, the first couple sometimes are not too good until you get to say what you want to say, you know. But, yeah, pretty bad, but I keep them anyway. So that's what's inspiring, I guess. But I think the big inspiration from a lot of stuff was from my war experiences. That really affected your outlook on life. But outside of that, it's just that things come in, you know, into your head. And it's wonderful, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My absolute last question, which I realized I forgot to ask, was what advice would you have for emerging artists today in Buffalo? Anything that you wish you would have known when you were
starting out? No, not really.
Starting out?
No, I'd say just keep working and keep painting. I mean, I think the only advice is you gotta really know what you want to do. And if you're really serious about art, you'll do it, regardless of the classroom. You don't need the classroom. You don't need the art teachers. You're going to do it anyway. You know? So my advice is just keep working. You know, and I think you have to say also, if you're going to be really serious about it, you better think about another job to support you while you're doing it. That would be my advice. I don't know if it's worth anything or not.
That's great. Thank you so much, Joe, for coming and talking with me today about this. And
I love talking to you on the phone.
It's been really great. And thank you for taking part in the Living Legacy Project.